I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Yahoo playoff post-game show that is coming after a win. I'm really excited to be talking to Yasmin today. My name is Iman. Yasmin, what's up? How are you?
I am good. Just got back from the game, still riding the high. That was a really, really fun matchup to watch. Like, I even enjoyed game three. Like, I just want closer, more competitive matchups. So that's what we've been getting the last couple of games, thankfully, after those, you know, huge L's that are just like kind of nauseating to watch.
Yeah, the first two games, and this is so funny because, like, it's not because the Raptors won that I'm calling this the most Raptors-esque game.
I agree, it's not because
of the results, but the process, yeah. There, right? So I'm really excited to sort of break this game down, because as we were talking about the other games before, it was like the Raptors were lights out from deep. Their half-court offense looked great, but they weren't getting stops. They weren't running in transition. I think tonight they had 21 fast break points. Like, they were – tonight we saw – they didn't hit a lot of threes. Tonight we kind of saw a Raptors team that just looks a lot more familiar, and it's really fun to watch these guys play Raptors basketball, because I would have really hated to have the playoffs happen and have the Raptors there and not really get to see it, but – speaking of having the playoffs happen and almost risking having that one guy not there, Scottie Barnes.
Yes.
Rookie of the Year was announced. I'm wearing the same thing I was wearing in the draft day show when the Raptors drafted Scottie, which was the funniest moment ever for me.
You guys just breaking down in laughter when that happened.
I think I laughed for half an hour straight. I was just like,
that was
this
a fan base greatest. At large, not just you guys.
No, I wasn't. Mine was not laughter of sadness or anything. I was just like, thank you, Masai, for bulk, like, going against whatever everybody else wants. I love this. The Scottie kid seems like he's it. I'm so ready for like the Scottie emergence. And I'm glad that we got it. I don't want to spend too much time talking about Scottie Barnes' rookie season, because I think we're probably going to do some more shows regarding that. I want to talk about Scottie Barnes in this playoffs. He came off the bench in the first half, but ended up starting in the second half. And that's in large part, well, entirely really due to Fred VanVleet and his injury. I want to start off with some of the bad. We've been breaking down these games as the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's start with some of the bad. And I think the Raptors' inability to get healthy can be considered one of the bad things. What did you see with that Fred VanVleet injury?
I feel like Fred just hasn't looked like himself in the series at all. He's just having issues taking guys off the dribble. His jumpers aren't, he's had a couple nights where he's looking like himself at the perimeter, but like, just even his quickness off ball is just not the same. He's not getting as loose as he usually does. Usually Fred is just a nuisance to track down on the court when he's off ball, but that just hasn't been the case. And then now it seems that he has an issue with his hip, in addition to the issues that he's had with his knee.
Which is brand new, right?
Yeah, that was not the case prior. So this hip thing seems to be new. I would not be surprised if he played through it. He just seems to be a guy who, you know, he worked all year for this. So I think that he might weigh the costs of it and see that maybe if I push through this, perhaps it won't worsen. And even though it's going to be painful, I can spend the offseason recovering. I think that's probably the tactic that Scottie Barnes himself is taking. If there that isn't is structural young. Damage, yeah. If there isn't any structural damage, if it's just a case of pain, endurance, and like inflammation, then I think they're going to play through it. But still, it's just kind of upsetting that we're not getting a healthy Raptors team. Gary Trent even just spoke about it in the post game, saying that he was feeling horrible the first two games, lost 8 pounds, and is just beginning to feel like himself. He said he feels 1,000% better now. And you can tell he's just way more engaged. He was slow on offense, slow on defense before. And yeah, just to, you know, the Raptors have pretty good health luck with the season, even though they've had, you know, the COVID outbreaks within the organization themselves. They've actually been, I think, on the bottom third in the league of games lost due to injuries. So they fared pretty well in comparison to the rest of the league, but it seems to have caught up with them in the postseason. But luckily they've been, we saw it take teams out of the playoff race. Like, you look at the Cavs, if the Raptors didn't hold on, this could very easily have been them. If Fred and Gary weren't able to, and Scotty weren't able to maintain their health up until the very last game, it could have, you know, looked a lot different. But even through it all, they've had Pascal, which, you know, I think this game kind of demonstrates how as long as you have your team's best player, you still stand a chance. And, you know, even in game three, it came down to the wire, but they still had Pascal on the court and they still were in it up until the last moments. You win some, you lose some. And I think it just goes to show how perfect things need to work out for the playoffs, how things need to, the stars need to align for your team to go far.
Yeah. I mean, you need a lot of luck to get through the playoffs, a lot of luck. And I think with the Raptors, something, especially with the injuries that they have had, it always feels to me as though everyone on the Raptors could do better in a bigger role. So when one guy's down, we see someone else step up, and it's honestly allowed for Precious to develop into the player that he is today. It allowed for OG to develop into the player that we saw in the beginning of the season. Pascal, like all of these guys. What I found really interesting with the Fred VanVleet injuries, we saw, to me, it felt like two versions of the Raptors in the first half and in the second half. And I wonder, with Fred labored right now, how beneficial it is for the Raptors to have him out there. I think he is the team's all-star. He has led this team to 40 some odd wins, however much they won. I'm not discrediting Fred VanVleet. I think he's been brilliant for this team this year. But when we saw a lot of passive Fred, he was passing up a lot of shots that he would have normally taken. It was giving me some Patrick Patterson vibes of old. And what we saw in the second half was Vision 6-9 truly come to fruition. And Vision 6-9 is going to have a lot of issues, especially in terms of spacing. We saw that they were not able to hit a shot, but if Fred is not also able to hit a shot, could we just,
you just lose height if you lose the rebounding? Right? On top of that, you just end up losing rebounding. Should we just run
with Vision 6-9?
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about it on my way home from the game. I'm ruminating over it. And I don't know if it's just a case of the matchup not favoring Fred or his illness. I'm not sure what the issue in particular, like for this series is, but.
And just to your point, the Raptors played the Sixers 4 times. Fred played in only one of those games. And it was all the way in the beginning of the year before the Sixers looked like the team that they are. And before the Raptors looked like the team that they are. And he had a brilliant game. He had a fantastic game, but this is a team that has given Fred fits in the past. I mean, 2019 playoffs was not that long ago.
Yeah, they're a big team. And, you know, seeing the success of that lineup where everyone is a switchable forward kind of shows that when Fred is not at his very best, they're losing something with him on the court. So, you know, you end up losing height, you end up losing defensive switchability. The team cannot maintain their 1-5 switching, which we saw completely dominate the fourth quarter. Embiid had issues towards the end of that, finding a mismatch that he could take advantage of. I think his best bet was to go at Thad Young, and he held his own. I don't know if it's a case of the matchup or if we are just not seeing that particular lineup maximized when Fred is on the court, but it's interesting. And I'm interested to see if he comes back, how it impacts them going forward if he's not himself. So, I think the Raptors are kind of going to weigh their options when it comes to that. So It's not a fault of Fred. It's just that this roster is so unorthodox, and then this matchup kind of tests exactly that. And you know, this is a team that he's had issues with. The Sixers are big. Their smallest player is Tyrese Maxey, and he is super shifty, super hard to get a hold of. You need to be able to switch 1 through 5 to deal with someone like him. You can't navigate screens and stuff when it comes to dealing with Maxey. He's dominated this matchup.
Entirely. And we didn't see so much of that in the second half of this game. Exactly. It was so clear to me. Like I've been a Fred apologist all year. And I think when Fred is at his best, when Fred is not even 80% of Fred, 75% of Fred, I think is someone that's so valuable to what this team needs and can do. But if he's out there and he's not hitting his shots, I just don't know that this is a particular matchup for him. I wouldn't mind seeing a shorter leash on Fred VanVleet. I hope he can get healthy. I hope we get a healthy Raptors team, especially in the playoffs. Like, it'd be so nice if we get to see all of these guys healthy in the playoffs. But if that's not the case, I'm kind of glad that we're running with Vision 6-9. I feel terrible saying that, but I mean, I love Fred. I hope he gets healthy. I hope he gets better, because this team is at their best when Fred VanVleet is there. He is their all-star for a reason. Someone who we talked about, Gary, we've talked about Scotty. There was a third guy that was hurt for most of the series and probably still battling an injury right now, but is my good. Like, I'm not even going to talk about Pascal. I'm talking specifically about Thaddeus Young, who was hurt, who was injured. He is my good for today's game. We could talk about Pascal Siakam as like our great for tonight. But what do you think about Thaddeus Young and what he was able to bring tonight?
Yeah, I initially, even when we got him, I thought that he would fill that. I feel like with the absence of Lowry, yeah, the Raptors lost a skilled point guard, but they also lost just like a veteran who knows all of the nuances of the game, who's tricky, who knows when to make those pocket passes, who knows when to press the holes in the opposition's defense. And like, Thad just knows what he's doing. He's rarely making the simple mistakes we've come to expect of all the players on the roster, because this is such a young team. We kind of, you know, watching Raptors basketball, watching a young team, we've learned to just overlook a lot of mistakes. Missed shots are nothing. Missed coverages are nothing. But Thad is always doing what he needs to do. And to have like a steady rotation player, you're seeing the value of that in the postseason. And we've seen it in past Raptors teams that have had postseason success. They have every single player on the court is just very seasoned. And Thad is exactly that. He's been awesome on Embiid. He's been awesome, I feel like, the only player who managed to take advantage of him was like maybe James Harden for a couple of possessions. I think in game 3 it was, who managed to work him on the perimeter. But even then, it's like, I don't know if it was a case of just Harden being on a hot streak, because he struggled on this game and things didn't really change. So Thad has been awesome. I hope the Raptors keep him. If they're able to keep him on a affordable deal, there's no reason to let him go. He's totally worth keeping for a young squad. He's the exact kind of seasoned veteran that a young team needs to learn from. And it's not always about being the best player of the team. The best player doesn't need to be the experienced veteran. It can be a rotational guy. And that is exactly that.
Or in the case of the Miami Heat, an assistant coach who takes a roster spot in Udonis. it's so funny, because I definitely have a type, because I'm just like, oh yeah, Thaddeus Young is my favorite player. Yep, I'm missing the Kyle Lowry hole. And yes, Thaddeus Young, you're doing a fantastic job of giving me everything that I need on the court, including, and we would be remiss if we did not mention it, dropping Embiid, breaking his ankles right there.
Oh yeah.
What a beautiful play.
Insert clip here.
Yeah, like, please, if that doesn't go in the Louvre, like, I just need, put it in the AGO. Like, let's get it in the Royal Ontario Museum. Let's put it everywhere, because it is a work of art. And it was so much fun to see him drop and beat.
Of all the guys on the roster to do it, it was Thaddeus. Our left-handed.
It's so funny. It's so weird that it would be Thaddeus Young. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Do you have a good of the night?
A good of the night.
Forget that it's a matinee.
Every time I'm on the Locked On Raptors podcast and Sean Woodley asks me for my dude of the game, I always say Precious, because like, Precious, he's so solid. He's like nowadays he really disappoints me. And whenever he does something good, I'm like, that's precious, man. Like, that's what he does. And even in today's game, I feel like he had a couple of possessions in the fourth quarter that helped break them, to help break open that lead. And you know, he Precious is always good for like two possessions a game where you're like, what? Like, you could do that. And
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
He had, I think like a couple of possessions before it, I'm like, Precious, if you put the ball on the floor one more time.
Against Embiid.
Against Embiid.
He kept going at him.
Oh my goodness.
He kept going at him in the earlier part of the season. Those possessions were guaranteed turnovers. And then now that the last couple of games, he's been getting possessions again. He's been going at him. And that's what I love about Precious. His confidence remains consistent no matter whether the ball is going to go through the hoop or not. And that might seem ill-advised, but if you're a player that's developing at the rate that he is, and you've seen, you know, the fruits of your labor continuously, why not? Why not keep going at it? Like, his confidence has been resulting in, you know, actual development. So keep doing what you're doing, man. Like, every time he does it, like, it seems to be something that he becomes more comfortable with. So if by game five, he's, you know, continuously going at Embiid again, and it's still yielding good results, like, just keep doing it. And Nick Nurse mentioned it in the post game where, you know, he has a couple moves that always surprise him. And it's like, you know, I'm really excited to see what third year Precious looks like. Cause he's, again, I always stress, this is a sophomore player and he looks so solid. And if he takes the leap that I think he can in year three and becomes that, you know, starting caliber even player that I think that he can become, or just a really talented six man, I think we should be scrutinizing the Miami Heat if they don't win the chip for throwing Precious in there and giving Precious to the Raptors, because he's the exact kind of player that I think a lot of teams need. He's not an easy player to find.
Like, a lot of teams need, where can you find a Precious, and how do the Raptors just keep getting these guys? It's so much fun. Precious, like, I keep talking about it, like, because I have a niece who's a toddler, and the rate that humans grow when they're toddlers is just, like, exponential. Like, you're just, like, every time I see you, you're, like, oh, you're basically a human being now. Like, you've completely transformed from the last time I saw you. You were speaking in full sentences. Like, you can do all of these things. And that's what it's like watching Precious, where I'm, like, every time I turn on the game, you've grown into being a super, like, what? You can do this now? These are things that you can add to your game. It's a lot of fun. And in the words of Blue Ivy, he's never seen a ceiling in his life. Sky's limit with the kid. Keep growing, Precious. It's so much fun to talk about him. And so let's get into some of the ugly in the game. Do you have an ugly? Because mine is Joel Embiid's little snarky comments.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it might not be his comments, but, you know, Siakam in his post game mentioned that he acknowledges that postseason basketball is like the highest level and that the competitiveness is expected, but he does not appreciate the dirty plays and the fake toughness, which I thought was like, it's a call out. It's a call out. This series might be destroying friendships, honestly. It's getting chippy. It seems that every possession is getting chippy, and like, I appreciate that. A lot of people are going at Embiid, calling him out for the hypocrisy and stuff, you know, tells Nick Nurse to stop whining about calls, goes on to whine about calls the next game. But he's a very hot-blooded player. He's very passionate. He's he showboats. He talks trash. He calls people out in the post game. He hushes the Wells Fargo audience. This is a guy who's just very, very passionate. Exactly. Raptors fans should not take it personally. I don't think the Raptors should take it personally. I think this is just him. But it is ugly. It's not, regardless of all these facts, it's just not a good look, especially for someone. I think the MVP voting has already been done. So what's done is done in regards to that. But you'd hope that the Sixers can feel confident that they're going to close this series out. They still have a 3-1 lead. It's still going to be the tiniest of chances that the Raptors can make this a 7-game series. You'd hope they close this out so that he can continue talking this trash. But
that's where someone like Embiid is at his best, right? And the Sixers in general is when they can talk their trash. We saw it back in 2019 with the airplane and all that other stuff. But the thing about the Sixers and the Raptors that I think are just diametrically opposed is the Raptors, I think, perform the best when they've been smacked in the mouth, right? Like, they need to be punched a little bit. And I don't mean like physically hurt, but like when the Raptors' backs are against the wall and they're the underdogs, they're scrappy, they're gritty team. And I think the Sixers are very best as front runners. And I don't know how well the Sixers do when they get punched.
That's a good point. The Raptors, they do not showboat. I don't know what the culture is. I don't know if it's Kawhi's presence that completely altered the culture on the team. Because even I think that Lowry changed after that run. They do not celebrate fast. It's very rare. I think towards the end of the regular season, we saw them. But I think that was more so just relief that the season was just ending. But they're not a celebratory team. Scottie Barnes is the only one that goes crazy. And apparently him and Fred were arguing about that towards the end of the season. It came to an understanding.
Because Fred is the complete opposite of that.
Yeah, too. So, like it's just, yeah. And even if you watch Scottie's footage from college or high school clips and stuff, he's far, like several times calmer than he used to be. So they're just, the Raptors are a team that like to be the underdog. I think that's the culture.
And that's where they perform the best. That's like when you're doubting them and they're really pesky. They're really gritty. And the Sixers, I'm interested to see what the Sixers can look like in game six. Game five?
Yeah. When things are
to see what they look like in game six. But I would love to see what they look like in game five, because I think we've talked about it. You mentioned it. I saw your tweet of yours where the Raptors, that was like the least angsty, least tense atmosphere you've been in you've been around for a game that could potentially be a series, season ending for the Toronto Raptors. And I think if you get enough momentum to shift and it's a closer game in game five, all the pressure is on the Sixers.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested to see what the Sixers look like in that scenario. They could very easily crush the Raptors in that scenario. And you can see Joel Embiid putting on an MVP type performance. You can see James Harden putting on an MVP type performance. They could, but we've also seen this team performs the best when they're on top. And when they get punched a little bit, they're just, they get, it's super chippy. They start looking for calls. They start complaining. They start whining. And I just wonder what that Sixers team is going to look like if the Raptors can really pressure them in game five.
Yeah. And if the Raptors come out swinging in a game five, make things dicey, the prospect of a game six in Toronto becomes much more kind of anxiety inducing for the 76ers. So I think they should take it one game at a time. All the Raptors got to do is just win one and then extend it. And then, I feel like to them, it's just to win a single game. For the Sixers, it's to close out the series, which I feel like is tough to do. Winning game four is never easy. A sweep is not an easy feat, no matter how bad the team is. Winning four in a row, like after, knowing that we've never won one against the Pistons before, it doesn't matter how good or bad a team is. These are NBA teams. So winning four in a row, it's difficult. So the Raptors punched back. We'll see how they look going into a game five, but with, Scottie present, with Gary healthy, we saw that they had a chance in game one until Scottie went out.
Yeah.
You know, it was a close, I think there was like less than 10 point difference.
Yeah.
It was like the third quarter.
The Sixers didn't really run away with it until the second half.
Yeah, until Scottie went out. So he was on pace for like a triple double.
He was shy of a triple double.
Exactly. Gary hasn't looked right. So, you know, I feel like the Raptors might go into game five feeling reinvigorated. And
do you have any, what are you looking to see in game five? We'll close off with that. What are you looking to see in game five? And then, hopefully we're back again to talk about a game six.
I'm looking to see Siakam do exactly what he did in this game, which is to come out strong. I think when he comes out strong, when he comes out looking like the best version of himself, taking those mid-range looks, looking effortless, probing, being aggressive and decisive, which Nick Nurse mentioned after the game that he was far more aggressive this time. It just gives the team, I feel like, a confidence, a sense that they have a chance. And it also just pressures the Sixers more. So he came out hot in the first quarter, cooled off, but it didn't matter because I feel like it just changed the dynamic of the game. And they're not going to give him things easy. They've walled him off from the paint excellently, the Sixers, their defense. Tobias Harris has been great. Even their weaker defenders in Yang have really walled off really well, are moving laterally really well, anticipating the spins, anticipating everything. Siakam has answered great, I think. He had a tough game three, but this series, I think that relying on his mid-range, relying on his playmaking, kicking out has been great, has been solid this series. So I want to see him maintain that. He could have gotten 40 this game. He cooled off, missed some long twos in the fourth quarter. Could have got, I was anticipating 40 points because I think he was at like 34 with minutes to go. So I think that if he comes out strong, if the Raptors keep the pressure high, get the Sixers into foul trouble, play aggressively, initiate contact, don't look for calls, look to be rewarded. You know what I mean? Like you got to initiate contact on the offensive end. Stop complaining about these defensive fouls. Play aggressively on the other end, force the referees into tough situations. You know what I mean? I feel like that's one thing I really miss about Lowry, is that he would always know the Raptors need that kind of game management player. Hopefully Scottie can become that. I think I see it in him, but that game management player really puts pressure on the referees to force calls. Yep. Okay, you're going to call that defensive foul, or are you going to call it when I do the same thing on this end?
Right.
Lowry was so excellent that the next play he would do the exact same thing a player did to him, to test the whistle. And that's just excellent game management.
And I think that refs have been put on notice in this series. And like the calls, like when you see a call that's like so egregious on one end, you'll see a makeup call right away. And I don't know that we got that in games one and two. I don't know that instantly got that makeup call. Game two was incredibly egregious. I mean, to have one guy shoot 12 free throws, we're not going to keep going in the first quarter and then the entire team do it for the entire game. And it feels as though there's a little bit of an emphasis on refereeing and people are watching it and referees are a little bit more on their toes in this series.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And like, I don't mind when a player is rewarded with calls. So he initiates contact, you see the replay, it's obvious he was touched. When it's like these tic-tac fouls where he threw himself and you think he was touched from the back, but you're not even at an angle where you can call that whistle. And you know, like all these kind of things are just kind of what annoyed me. Like, I don't care about Joel getting 15 calls or whatever. It's just that if these calls are all because he is throwing his arms up and falling as like a 300-pound seven-footer, that's where the issue arrives.
He falls so much.
He really does. And like, he's so huge that I was at the very top in the media area. You could hear him fall onto the hardwood.
You can hear it on the broadcast. And it's just like, this has to be hurting you. What are you doing? It's not worth the 2 points. It's not.
And he's like, I don't feel so well. I'm sick.
Like, yeah, duh.
He said he was feeling sick the first two games. And I'm like, dude, it's because your body's like fighting for its life.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I'm going to be keeping an eye on the whistle. The last two games, I feel like, were called much more fairly. I feel like every call the Raptors have been getting has been like just them attacking whoever has the most fouls, whoever has like 4 or 5 fouls, which I think they've been doing a great job at the last couple of games, you know, people who are giving you issues into foul trouble, get Niang into foul trouble.
Yeah, because he has just been lights out from deep. He better get his 6 fouls right away.
Hand in the face and it's still a swish. Like he's gonna get paid soon. I don't know what his contract situation is like, but yeah. he's a phenomenal guy. Tobias has been phenomenal. If Tobias was in foul trouble this game, these are players that you want to get their role players who are spacing the floor into foul trouble. I think that's been skewing Doc Rivers' rotations, which is what you want to do. And that's what they've been doing so well to the Raptors in the first couple games. Yeah, that's I feel like the adjustment that we can anticipate coming up.
Yeah, mine is to just win the game. That's my key to the game.
Key to the game, win.
Win. Score more
Play
points.
Well.
Have fun.
Score
Have
more
fun,
points in the opposition.
Yeah, basically. Thank you so much, Yasmin, for joining me. And thank you, everyone, for checking out another post-game wrap-up show.
Peace out.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.